Brent Beard. You look at 1010XL out of Jacksonville, Florida. It's collegesportsnotebook.com. It's the best way to connect with Brent. So the Twitter account covers the SEC. Brent, I hope you're doing well. Welcome into the game in T-Town.
Ryan, I am, and you just mentioned Wisconsin a few minutes ago, and I think you could make the argument that Wisconsin is a football and basketball school in a lot of ways. And frankly, their basketball may be better than their football, but the Alabama coaching search is very interesting. There's no doubt they made a incredibly smart decision in letting Anthony Grant go. I'll be honest with you, Ryan, and I thought I'd hear more about this, but I'm surprised there hasn't been more of a complaint from the media that Grant goes on television Sunday and shows more personality in basically a couple hours than he had in years with some of the local media. But Urban Meyer did pretty much the same thing when he went to ESPN, and I can understand the media getting an uproar about it. I can also understand Grant trying to keep his name out there to some degree. But to get back to the search, I mean, it's important. This is a legacy search for Bill Battle and how he will be remembered. And I'll be honest with you, Ryan, with the guys that they're seriously looking at, and Marshall and Steve Prohm and Archie Miller and Shaka Smart, I mean, if they go in that direction with one of those guys, I think they'll be fine.
Brent, this tells me, and I go back, and I'm going to stand firm on this. I said it for weeks that I thought that Bill Battle would not fire Anthony Grant. I mean, I've had some callers and some listeners who have shared some crow with me, and I don't mind eating it. It actually tastes pretty good. But you go back, I still believe that Bill Battle did not intend to fire Anthony Grant. But the pressure from the fans and the media and the big boosters and some of the board of trustees stood up and said, no more. We cannot see this program destroyed like Anthony Grant's destroying it.
I don't think there's any question that that's precisely what happened. And without that pressure, he would not have done it. And the amazing thing about it is the athletic administration would have let this go, and there would have been another mediocre year next year, and it would really just frankly faded into oblivion. I'm telling you, Ryan, and they won't admit this, but in no small way did Bruce Pearl's success in the SEC tournament and UAB's success also affect what happened here, because you basically had a perfect storm in a lot of ways of factors coming together for this change to occur, and it needed to. And see, here's the reality of the basketball coach, Ryan. Not only do you have to pay to get a good one, but you've also got to look at, do you need to refurbish Coleman Coliseum? Do you need to... and you certainly need to do this, give whoever the coach is all the amenities that he needs, whether it's a jet to fly around, see these recruits, regardless of what it's going to have to be. Alabama has a chance now to be a big-time basketball program over the next few years, and they need to take advantage of it.
But now, Brent, I mean, I'm fixing to let the cat out of the bag here for a couple of minutes, but to me, when I heard the private jet stuff, I thought that was already I think that's pretty customary. Now, let me say this, and this is probably going to be a quote. I mean, I could write a book on Anthony Grant, but he was lazy on the recruiting trail.
And
I don't think he utilized that. But I mean, the University of Alabama owns a private plane. Yes, maybe a lot of it's dedicated to football, but if you fill the seats, they'll buy a new plane. It doesn't matter. I mean, if you'll come here and win, and if you see a program that's offering a $3.5 to $4 million contract a year, they'll buy you a private plane if that's what you're looking for. I just don't know. I think Coleman Coliseum takes a bad rap. It is, you could do some things to it, but I don't think it's a bad facility. Could it be better? Well, sure it could. I mean, you could build a brand new 15,000 seat arena, but at the end of the day, I think there's some improvements that could be made, or maybe you just tear it down and start all over. I mean, you invested $40 million a couple of years ago, which was probably a waste, but I don't know what else you could do. The facilities, the money, the recruiting dollars that you could get here, the funds that it would take. I mean, Nick Saban spends a lot of money searching the country for recruits. I don't know what else you could make this a bigger job.
Well, and the thing I'm talking about is, and I mean, I assume they had some kind of jet. But how available is it? Do the coaches take advantage of it? Those are things that we don't know. But my point is that you give your coach everything he needs in order to be successful. And I'm with you. I talked to some national media about Coleman, and they said, look, Coleman's fine. They could maybe do some things. I've heard, do you move the students closer down to where they're right in the opponent's face or something like that? I mean, those are things you could probably talk about. But and whoever they hire needs to be a promoter of the program, and that's going to be extremely important because there's a lot of talent in North Alabama coming through the next two or three years, and Alabama needs to get their share of those. But I will say, the guys that we mentioned, you bring in someone like that, and when that happens, you're going to start winning. You're going to fill the place up, and people are going to start looking at it differently. See, the reality of basketball is Alabama had a winner in basketball, frankly, on a consistent basis. And I know Godfrey had his moments since Wimp Sanderson. So once they start winning and get a taste of what that's like, at that point, a lot of this stuff changes.
Well, Brent, I remember growing up in the 80s and the 90s here. My parents, we made it to A-Day, but we couldn't afford a lot of the other games as far as the big games. But I remember my parents bringing me to basketball games because it was a crazy environment. That's the way I was connected to the University of Alabama. And to try to explain that to our younger generation is really hard to do. And I've tried, and people are like, no, that's not the second most winningest program. I was on out in the Midwest, and they were asking me, well, Alabama's not really that rich in tradition. And it's like, maybe not recent, but when you look at the overall program,
that's true.
This program has a lot of history and tradition.
Sure it does. And listen, when you compare SEC tournament titles and you compare records and so forth, Alabama is among the upper echelon of the league. The problem is Kentucky is just another stratosphere. Now, let me, for the people who don't have that much of a frame of reference, let me explain it like this, and they will understand this. When Wimp Sanderson was at Alabama and Bill Curry was the head coach, there is no question, and even during the time of Perkins, Ryan, you had a situation where Wimp Sanderson was the big man on campus. There was a stretch of time, and I know this is hard for people to believe, where the basketball coach was more popular at the school than the football coach.
That's crazy, and it's hard to explain. Let's go to football for a couple of minutes. The pads are clicking here in Tuscaloosa. It is a big focus on the quarterback position. The offensive line is where my focus is. And Cam Robinson tweaked his ankle on Monday. He was sort of limited today. And I think that's one of those situations where you're just not going to, press a guy like Cam Robinson. If this was game day, then I think it'd be a different conversation. But the big news coming out of this press conference a couple of hours ago when Nick Saban said that he could use Derrick Henry and Kenyon Drake in the same backfield, that sort of the eyes for Alabama fans sort of widen up a little bit when you look at those two backs in the same backfield.
Oh, it'd just be deadly, wouldn't it? I mean, that would be amazing to be able to think about that. And see, I'm with you. I think they'll find a quarterback, and that they'll be okay eventually at quarterback. I'm much more concerned with the offensive line. And look, if the offensive line gels, so will the entire offense. Now they got some work to do at receiver, obviously. I mean, Chris Black basically is your leading returning receiver, and that shows you what they've lost as far as they don't have a lot of other guys who've had a lot of catches. But the I told somebody the other day on another segment in another state that to me, Kenyon Drake is the I think he's the straw that stirs a drink for that offense. I just think he's that good, and when you've got the Ryan, I'm telling you, if he and it's fortunate that he can do both, but if he lined up at receiver, it would surprise people how good that he could be as a receiver.
Well, Brent, one of the things that I think that tells me when you hear Nick Saban talking about Henry and Drake in the same backfield, to me, there's a message that needs to happen. I'm not against throwing the football. Don't take this the wrong way, because you need to go after those big athletes, those big wide receivers, you know, the quarterbacks that have got a cannon. But what that tells me, that they're also reevaluating a dedication to running the football, and that needs to happen in T-Town.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I still say if they had that in the Sugar Bowl game, that they would have won another national championship. But they went away from that. Now, you know, I mean, you still have to be in say in fairness that they got into the Sugar Bowl because Lane Kiffin was able to use what they had, and their strength at that time was the passing game with Cooper and his cohorts, and also with Sims. But I agree with you. When Alabama's at its best, it's when they've gone to dominating a run game, and I think that's what they would like to have. But again, Nick Saban strives for balance, and I think that's what he's trying to do.
Brent, the next time you and I talk, you think Greg Marshall will be in Tuscaloosa?
That's a good question. And look, again, I have a lot of faith that I think he's so good a coach that it wouldn't shock me if they're in the Final Four, frankly.
And beat Kentucky?
Well, no, I won't go that far.
But I won't be shocked if they beat Notre Dame and go to the Elite Eight.
Oh, no, not at all. But look, I know he got some criticism for commenting on the Alabama job when he was doing some national stories, but in fairness to Marshall, Marshall was he said he was doing always concentrating on taking this team to where it needs to go, and that he would deal with the Alabama stuff later on. The people that know him would tell you that comments like that are because he's pretty transparent. Now, I've also heard that he is a Bobby Knight clone in his demeanor and in his behavior and so forth. I mean, what I take from that is he's a disciplinarian and that he's a tough-minded coach. I'm not saying he throws chairs everywhere and stuff like that, but people would tell you that he is one of the best. He's proven that. And listen, he's been there like 17 years, Ryan. I know this is probably home to them, but at the same time, if you want to go to a Power 5 conference and you want to double, almost triple your salary, I think he will do some real soul searching and consider coming to Alabama. Yes.
Well, let me give my a media friend of mine a little bit of credit. Drew DeArmond tweeted out earlier today, just comparing the athletic revenue, $23 million total in 2013-2014 for Wichita State, $143 million reported by Alabama. That's really all you need to know. I mean, you're talking about accessibility, facilities, that there's a big gap there. And the name of the University of Alabama has never been bigger than what it is.